Welcome to Omschooling for Spirituality. The Flow is a delightful mix of insight, divine inspiration, and humor, where wisdom meets earthiness to help your ongoing spiritual growth and transformation. Follow the flow of enlightenment and explore everything spiritual through the deepest self-inquiry as student Lisa Berry asks master spiritual teacher G.P. Walsh the kinds of questions you would ask an elder, a wise man, or a sage, and receive direct, simple, comprehensive, and deeply human lessons and teachings. From transcending the experience of separation, releasing old conditioned patterns and wounds, and alleviating suffering, to demystifying esoteric practices and revealing one's true purpose and innate freedom. Welcome to the flow of enlightenment. Transformation is all there is.
And another wonderful show of The Flow of Enlightenment. You guys are listening to G.P. Walsh and myself, Lisa Berry. Hello, G.P.
Hello, Lisa. Good morning. What's happening for you?
Ah, yes. All times of the day, it all works. And especially for today's show. Today's show grew so much in my world. It came as a beautiful sentence I heard kind of in my head, and then it kind of gathered up steam, and even today it picked up. So today is all about just sit with me. It sounds so simple.
Well, it is, yeah.
Yes, and the depth to it. So when I kind of thought about this originally, GP, I was I had so many questions pour in from people when I told them this was the topic that I'm trying to put into some kind of flow. Really what it is that when anybody hears that, like if you were to hear that, somebody would just, you know, tap the side of the couch or beside their bed if they're not feeling well, or they go, just sit with me. It's a very comforting thing.
It's a very quiet thing. It's a very intimate thing. It's an invitation into somebody's most intimate space, right? I mean, you have permission to cross, you know, the 18 inches or whatever it is. It's free of thought. It's free of thinking.
Yes.
It's just presence. It's just pure presence.
It's hard, though, for people.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, because we've just been, especially these days, and we're just inundated with, you know, messages and marketing and distraction upon distraction. To just sit quietly is like, we don't know how to do it. We get very nervous. We get restless.
Yes.
Right? You know, in Zen Buddhism, the highest form of meditation there is called Shikantaza. And it means just sit.
Oh, and then when you add the with me, it has this, I don't know, it's like an invisible union.
Yeah. Yeah, it becomes an intimacy. Mm. Right? You're basically sitting together in this quiet space of no thought. Mm. And then thoughts will arise, you know, you're having tea, you're having conversation. But, you know, what is it about a conversation with a dear friend that makes it so touching? It's not the words. It's that presence. Mm-hmm.
Yes. The number one place I always hear somebody not quite sure what to do with it, it's like, just sit with me, or just show up, or just be there, is, you know, when I was little, going to funerals, you know, when as a child, you're like, oh, mom, no, I don't want to go. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. You know, and, right. and she'd always say the same thing. You don't have to say a thing. You're just by being there, you know, you know, represents this. And it was always an awkward thing, because then you really are face to face with that person. You're like, no, mom lied. I really do have to say something right now. And
she lied again.
Again. She's always putting me in these positions. And one of the fears, and this was quite a few questions from some people, is that we are recognizing now that words can be limiting. So we're all excited, or we're all like ready to go and support somebody, or want to tell them just how we feel. And then these words come out and they're like, whoa, those don't even come close, and or they're wrong, or they're not received well. It's, the words can be so limiting.
Well, yeah, they can also be very confusing. In these days, you know, I mean, how many arguments have been started over a text? you know, you see the text and you hear it in your head one way.
Yes. Oh, now I'm not hearing anything. I'm not hearing anything. Hello? Can you hear me? Who's on air? All right, so I'll just share with everybody that apparently right now only, yes, Barry just sit with me. We are apparently just sitting with GP.
And oh, there you are. Could you hear me?
Now we can. We haven't heard you since I said, about the text, when you said some people read a text, they see it, but they hear it a different way in their heads.
Wow, that's weird. No, just really. All of a sudden I heard you cutting out. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's totally weird. Okay.
Yeah. Well, let's take it back from there then, because you are so right. I know so many times I myself have read a text, heard it, and actually got a little reaction, maybe the one I didn't like, and then I read it a little later because I didn't want to respond in that state. And I went, oh my gosh, I didn't even read it correctly. And so so much of the confusion can happen there.
It's so easy. And you will project on to that message whatever your current state is. Right? You know, if you're having a bad day, somebody sends you a text, you could interpret it completely opposite of what their intention was.
Yes.
Which you can't do if you're sitting there in front of them, looking into their eyes, looking at all their gestures, seeing their body language, feeling the energy behind it. The likelihood of misinterpretation becomes really small.
Oh, and that's beautiful. It's almost like a way out. I swear, every show you give me a way out of something. I feel like, yes, out of jail again. Well, you kind of said the magic word there, intention. And that's where I wanted to dive in on the intention behind silence or just sitting with some presence. There's the word, is presence. And a lot of, you know, right now, yes, anybody can say that any time of the world, you know, we could say right now the world is going through such hard times. Well, we always are. So somebody's always going through something, right? And when somebody, you know, they just go, I just want to be alone. I don't want to be with anybody or see that person, but they really do know that there's the intention behind being with somebody. What in this scenario, what is the intention? Is it just truth? Is it us? Is it presence? What is intention at that kind of level?
Oh, wow. Well, it really depends on the spiritual maturity of the person. Most of our relationships are really transactional. You know, I'm there to get something, and I've got to give something in return, and it kind of goes back and forth. Most love affairs are like that. Rarely is it a genuine, intimate meeting of souls. And the only way you can have that is if you have two or more people who are committed to each other's freedom. So yes, it is all about really being present with not your truth, but the truth. Mm. You'll know what your truth is after you find the truth, because otherwise you're not going to be able to recognize. And you're certainly not going to be able to recognize the truths about your truths that aren't so pretty.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Is that the time that we are uncomfortable, is when our truths aren't so pretty, and yet here we are, we're suddenly, and so back to my parents again, I would just always remember that moment where I'm sitting there and my mother used to say, well, you can just sit there with what you've done. And it was, if it wasn't such a great thing, it was like, that was the worst punishment ever. to sit there, is that what you're saying?
Well, going back to that word intention, what is your intention, right? To truly come to a genuine love, a genuine presence, pure presence has no intention. That's the beauty of that meditation of just sit. You know, are you sitting? Yes. Okay, you're done. There's nothing else to do.
Right.
And the mind just kind of goes, what? You know, it takes away all the goals, all the objectives, all of the intentions of meditation. And it's pure presence, pure witnessing, with no vested interest in what is witnessed. And to just sit there, just sit with me, is for simply two to be engaged in that same thing. That's why you'll see, you know, groups of people in meditation classes and zendos and that sort of thing. That's what they're doing, sitting together.
Oh. Okay, that is... Oh, I don't know if I lost you or not here. It sounds very
I'm
empty.
Here.
Okay. Is when you say no, like zero, really zero intention, so even the intention of healing someone or, oh, I want to make them feel better, does that fall under the category of an intention?
Of course.
Darn it. Okay.
Yeah. Pure presence is totally intention-free. Now, that doesn't diminish or discredit a desire to help, a desire to heal. Right? That's love in action, right?
Oh,
but
okay.
What I'm talking about is love in essence, which is pure presence, which is total acceptance. If there's no intention, I'm totally here right now. I'm not looking anywhere else. I'm not reaching for anything else. I am 100% present. The moment I have an attention, motion begins to take place. I begin to move from now into someplace, into something else. And that, of course, will determine my perception, because I will only be focused on that which is in accord with my intention. The rest will get filtered out. It's simply the way that the energy system works. But if I have no intention, I'm 100% present. I'm 100% equanimous. I'm 100% in my 100% resources. So no matter what happens, the precisely right response to it will be there, because there's nothing clouding it. There's nothing distorting it. I'm totally present. All of me is present.
Can we feel from an other if they are present?
Oh, heavens, yes.
Okay.
We all have had the experience of sitting there talking to someone, you realize they haven't heard a word you've said. We pick up on it, right? And we don't, you know, if that happens consistently, they fade out of their lives. The only people we really want to hang on are those who we feel their attention. We feel they're actually there. And we feel they're not judging it, right? Mm. They're actually listening.
Yes.
You know, which is, you know, what's the number one thing they teach in every relationship course? The very first thing, listen to each other.
Yes. It can actually feel so hurt. Well, I mean, there's ego again getting in there for judgment, or if we feel rejected, like you're not listening to me, or you haven't heard me, or you want to get something from me, and all I need you to do is just listen or be.
Yeah, that's classic male-female stuff, too.
The guy
wants to do something, and she just listen to me.
Well, that's a perfect thing to go move into, and just in time before commercial too. What about that with male and female? Because are we just sitting with each other differently?
Well, if you get to the pure just sitting, pure shikantaza, then no, because it doesn't recognize any differences, right? But when you're talking about everyday life of being with people,
yeah. Yes.
There's obviously a different dynamic with everybody, the close friends, you know, business associates, an employer or an employee, you know, your boyfriend as opposed to your parents. They're all going to have a kind of different dynamic to them.
Right.
And they're all improved and enhanced by the capacity to just sit, to actually be present. Because if I can do that, well, then I'm capable of having intimate relationships. I'm capable of actually hearing what somebody says, and I'm capable of being heard. And I can tell when I am. So it is getting to this essential truth, this essential presence, which affects all of the relative ways in which it appears. When you get to pure love, every form of love that you give expression to will be improved. It'll be better. It'll be closer to the truth. Because the expression of love grows out of the essence of love. The essence of love, this unknowable, infinite space, completely undefinable. You can't describe just what is love. Well, you put it in terms of a feeling or an action or an interest, right? But those are all, but the, whether it be the love of a book or love of a person or love of the sunset or love of nature, we use the same word, right?
Yes.
They're all incredibly diverse, and yet, in their essence, they're the same. The essence is indescribable, yet we know it when we see it.
Yes, that's so funny. It's, you just made me realize that the word love could be very well the one word that has the most. There's a, well, I'm going to say a bad thing, but there's this YouTube video about all the definitions of the F word and how many times we use it differently. And we should do like a parody or whatever called the word love.
it's very true, and it is one of the most versatile words in the English languages.
Yes. Now, I would like to share with everybody, because I do know we're going to go to commercial, but what I want to bring this in and turn this conversation towards is when we say just sitting, just sit with me, around more around the healing internally for ourselves and for others. And I've got some goody questions that came up for this one, and I can't wait to ask you. So when, yeah. So everybody, come on back to the Flow of Enlightenment right after the commercial break.
Don't go away.
Yeah, don't go away. Stay.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Touch, move, and inspire. Sharing your story of how you overcame your deepest struggle will serve as someone else's survival guide. You are ready to get the book out of your head and onto the page. I'm Jocelyn Bellows, host of Breakdown to Wake Up, a live stream show dedicated to sharing personal journeys of men and women who have traversed through mazes of uncertainty, dark clouds, and dishonoring themselves, and the lessons they have learned along this path of what one can accomplish in our own self-discovery. And as a writing and life coach, I work with men and women to break through the BS of their lives to find their own voice and leaping into a life they love. It is my belief that when we share our stories of how we overcame what we have been through, it will serve as someone else's survival guide. So if you're ready to get the book out of your head and onto the page, I'd love to hear from you. Go to www.jocelynbellows.com and join me every Tuesday at noon Eastern and Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Ooh, so I'm wondering how many people took a moment just to sit with them. when you shared, GP, that that's actually one of the a Buddhist meditation called Just Sit. And then I had the with me on there without knowing. I thought, isn't that interesting? It's very turned inward, just like self-inquiry, right? So,
yes, indeed. That's what it is. It's self-inquiry without words.
Yes, yes. And when I think about it around the terms of healing, this is perfect. We'll start with self-healing on this because it really is a healing thing. You know, whether it, the stopping of action, the ceasing of a language running through, trying to find the words, trying to create, trying to do, trying to say, is that in itself healing? And does it does it allow the flow of energy to go through us?
Well, the flow of energy is always going through us. If it ever stopped, you would cease to exist.
Oh, that is true. Okay. Spirit here. Right. All right.
So let's be clear. The problem isn't the flow of the energy, nor can we really disrupt it. The problem is we think we can. And so we create all sorts of problems in our minds that don't actually exist in reality. And that's what we suffer from. The habit of thinking, it's the worst addiction of all. To always be thinking about stuff, getting into your mind, being in your head, as they like to say. And what it is you're getting so completely involved in the flow of thought that you're absent. You're not present because your attention is in this. Imagine all this stuff going on in your mind. And you've probably talked to people like that. You're having a conversation with them. You can see their minds all over the place.
Right? Yes.
They're not present. And the more you're in your mind, the less present you are. It's that simple. And it is in the mind because it is imaginary. It's a disconnection from reality. It's a disconnection from nature. It has its own view of everything, right? Yeah. So it sees nothing as it is. And so it all becomes a projection of the mind onto the natural harmonious flow that is, in fact, life. It is harmonious. It is flowing. You can't stop it. It isn't doing anything. It's just happening because that's its nature. But then we invent this idea that somehow we can interfere with that. If that thought is corrected, we begin to harmonize with the flow of life. That is what we mistakenly call healing. It really is just coming back to what is in fact already happening, already perfect, already benevolent, and already in optimum health.
Oh my gosh, I love that healing is the harmonizing with the flow of life.
Yep.
Okay. Oh my gosh, that's beautiful. Because what I was going to go to, I was having a hard time whether I was going to go with memory and forgetting, or because you mentioned energy doesn't. Okay, so a lot of people with Reiki and chakras or just energy healers, we say that, your energy is stuck in this chakra or it's blocked and you've got to release it or free it or get it flowing again. Where does that come in on? Is that just a picture that we've created so that we have an understanding?
Well, yeah, my views on this are pretty radical.
All right, let's get radical.
Because I always just assume that life knows what it's doing. Now, it's obvious that when there's some kind of inharmony, there's some kind of discord, something's off, right?
Right.
And we are attempting to reharmonize ourselves with the natural flow of life, recognizing that, it's going to flow whether we like it or not. You know, I can build a dam, but eventually that water is going to knock it down. It may not be right away, but it's going to, because I cannot stop the nature of things. When I try to, and I put up obstacles and blocks and pollutants and toxins and all sorts of stuff, I just create hell for myself. Right. It's not that life isn't flowing, right? It's following its own nature. But I've created a world in which I'm completely out of harmony with it. So how can I possibly expect to be healthy if I'm out of harmony with the natural flow of things? So Yes. I mean, when, you know, somebody with Reiki or massage therapy or anything, or acupuncture is making these adjustments to things, they're bringing you back into accord with the natural order of things. Now, only so much can be done that way, right? A person can have a liver transplant and then ruin the second one. I mean, that's happened.
Right, yes.
Right? Because the actual pattern hasn't changed. You know, just the immediate consequences were alleviated temporarily, but the actual cause remains the same. And at the root of it all is our ignorance of our true nature. Our ignorance of our true nature is ignorance of the flow. It is ignorance of the nature of all things. Because we're not separate from this flow. I mean, you are the flow and the witness of the flow. It is one stupendous whole. It is one functioning being. And, you know, so I get a little bit aberrant, and I think that, you know, I'm kind of isolated by myself, and I think that I can survive by myself. And it's insanity. You can't, you know, that's like the leaf, you know, wanting to get away from the tree.
Aww.
I don't need that tree.
God keeps following me. He's got his hands all over me.
That's right.
That's so funny. Aw. That's so interesting again, because sometimes just being with some people can really agitate and irritate some, and we're like, oh my gosh, I hate being around this person because I feel so off and they don't know why. And then we then create our own, we had intuition maybe, or a feeling around something that we didn't resonate with, but weren't in harmony with another person's energy, but then we create even more of a block or a fear or a repulsion. Like, and is there any way of, I don't know what the word is, letting that flow again?
Well, sure. And there always is, right? I mean, harmonize with what is, right? That doesn't mean you can fix somebody else, right?
Right.
But if you recognize what's happening, if you recognize the energy that they're in, then you'll be in a position where you can help them, or you can just kind of just pass to the side, you know, like mm-hmm. Aikido, just kind of step out of the way and let them flow through. They don't have to touch you, right? I mean, I like to say I don't swim with sharks. Mm-hmm. Period.
Yes.
Right? I don't expect them to be any different. They're actually beautiful. They're amazing. Right? But I'm not going to go hang with them because I know what they are.
Right. Yes, I guess that's the discernment piece too. And I love that. There's a question that came in around with, you know, just sit with me, came up, and they said, well, you know, I feel angels around me. I feel this presence. I feel when they're near. I feel when God's near. I feel when angels are near, or a spirit or a past loved one or energy. Is that just other energy? Can other energy just sit with us?
Well, the truth is that your perception of them comes and goes. They're always there.
Okay.
God's always there. The presence is always there. How could it not be? How can the infinite be missing somewhere? So it's our perception of it. The sage Osho was once asked, somebody said, are there such things as like fairies and wood nymphs and stuff?
Yes.
He says, sure. He says, well, okay. Well, how come whenever I go into the forest, they're not there? And Osho says, oh, they're all right. You're not.
Ah.
See, because we accept our kind of localized perception of things as being the fact, we imagine these things coming and going. Right? But, you know, I can close my eyes and the sun disappears. Right?
Oh, yeah.
A cloud can pass in the sky and the sun disappears. I can hold my thumb up. My stupid little thumb can block out the entire sun.
Right. Right.
Is it gone? Everything is always here all the time. It is only our perception that calls certain things forward and pushes certain things to the background.
Okay.
It is one stupendous whole. So sometimes I feel them, sometimes I'm not. And then I interpret that as sometimes they're here, sometimes they're not. No, sometimes you're here, sometimes you're not.
So does this the same conversation then around vortexes and hot spots? And, you know, I myself went to Japan and climbed Mount Karama, and it was, you know, said and felt by many, but maybe here's where your words just come in handy there, because they said, you know, the roots, there's these huge roots, tree roots, and they say put your hands under the roots, you can feel the energy. And just by saying that, I think that most people would feel it, because now they're feeling it, they're looking for it, they are present to it. Or are some things more highly, like charged energy flowing?
Everything is a matter of perception.
Yeah.
I mean, you are surrounded by the infinite emptiness of the one that is the source of all things. And all form is the manifestation of that one being. Now that form, they have different energy signatures, and some are intense, some are less intense. That all comes and goes. But that essential thing that we call energy, mm-hmm. which is simply the felt presence of presence. Right? Presence is there whether you feel it or not. Right? Like, you know, like truth is there whether you believe it or not.
Right.
And sometimes our perception opens, that aperture opens, and we actually have a sense of presence. But even that's secondary. Before there can be a feeling of presence, there must be presence. Before there can be a sense of being, you must be. So the ultimate absolute has no energy about it, has no signature. It's utterly empty. But it is. It is pure being. And then that pure being kind of creates a vibration, which is the sense I am. And out of the I am comes the entire universe. But the essence of it is not an energy. It is not a vibration. It is pure being. This is a hard one for people to grasp, because we can't think of things except in terms of our experience of them. But all experience is one step removed from the source of that experience. Because nothing can exist. Nothing can exist without being itself. And being infinite does not have any particular form. Its body is the truth.
Okay, this is a deep one here. So being or essence does not have a vibration.
Correct.
Okay, my mind's blown on that one. Hold on here.
This is the mystery of oneness. It has no characteristics whatsoever. It is irreducible and undefinable. It is unknowable. It is indivisible. It cannot be conceived of. It is beyond all opposites and categorizations. Even the feeling that I exist could only be there if I was there first.
Right.
So the ultimate is completely undetectable.
Ooh, that's a good word. That's a perfect word, actually, undetectable. Because I was going to ask then, is if being in essence does not have a vibration, that's why there's no sickness in just being. And so if we are
correct,
just being yes. with an other, the illness doesn't exist. The coma isn't there. The cancer, the sore tummy, I don't know why, you know,
right.
The fear.
It does not exist.
It doesn't exist. Now, is it that it is undetectable? Okay, wait. It is undetectable because it would therefore come into existence once the seer sees it or perceives it with using the ego.
There you go.
God, that took a lot. Okay, so
my goodness, I don't think you'll be able to say that again.
And no, thank gosh, it's recorded. Well, that was fine, actually.
Muji put it beautifully. He said, the itemized objects of perception only come into being with the seeing of them, which occurs in the seer of them.
Yes.
that come into existence. Remember, the word existence means existere. It originates from the Latin word existere, which means to come into appearance, stand out from the background.
Yes. I love that. I love that you said that on one of your the last course that you just did. I was blown away with that. Was the powers of creation. Yeah, that was the biggest aha moment. And only because I'm going to throw everybody on this one because what hit me at that time was not about healing. It was actually a financial thing that I thought, well, if us people were to bring into existence that we are abundant, we're rich, you know, we have prosperity, you know, or health or anything, love, relationship. If we can bring it forward, if we see it, then it must exist.
We think of it as not existing and then coming into existence. Right?
Yes.
But the reality is it always exists in nascent form, and we are simply calling it into form. So it always exists. Anything that can exist exists already in potential. That means it is part of the great emptiness.
That's like DNA.
But it is not seen.
Right.
And so we believe that if my bank account is low, then I am not abundant. And if it's high, then I am abundant, which is conditional, right? Mm. Abundance is not conditional. It simply is. It's the nature of the infinite. Therefore, it always is. And I will call it into existence either as in its negative or in its positive aspect. I'm either going to hold a triangle or I'm going to be looking at a hole in the wall the shape of a triangle. They're both triangles.
Right.
One is presence, one is absence. And so the presence and absence are actually predicated on something being there or not being there. The reality is it's always there. If you understand that, manifestation takes on a completely different character.
Yes.
The desperation goes away. It becomes quite playful, right?
Yes.
You don't have to do it. You don't have to make something happen. You're simply aligning yourself with what's actually true and letting it do the rest of the work. You throw out your vision board. You don't need it.
Yes, yes. And on that bold statement, I know we have to go to commercial. We'll see how many people are confused. They're like, I'm coming back for that one. Well, whether health is on your vision board or all those things, you know what? We will come back into that one after commercial break on the flow of enlightenment, because there's some big stuff coming here. We know that, yes, this is fun, GP. Thank you.
It always is, Lisa.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Beautiful. Oh, that sound is just so recalibrating, isn't it? and that's actually something too. Can we just sit and just be and have music and sound around us, or is that engaging our thoughts?
Well, needless to say, I make meditation music, and do guided meditations and things like that. But ultimately, that's why it's regarded as just the highest form of meditation, to just sit in silence. And what it really means is to sit and be the silence.
Oh.
No motion whatsoever. It's not just I'm sitting still. I am still. I am the stillness. Right? It's a loss of the sense of identity, and emerging with this infinite wholeness, this infinite emptiness, because that is who you really are. That is the self. Everything arises out of it. Everything is a manifestation of the self. But that self is not personal. And this is the great realization. The infinite self cannot be a person.
Yes.
It can give rise to an infinite number of persons, forms. As it does, just look around the world. Mm-hmm. I'm just looking out my window now at a bunch of trees, and it's just staggering, the sheer amount of quantity and quality and individuality in every leaf and every blade of grass. Just grasp that. Well, then what are you?
Mm-hmm.
The one who actually witnesses it.
That was actually one of a very, that's probably one of the scariest questions that came up for people as we talk about, you know, it's the number one fear is public speaking. And when one of the questions that came, and I've had this question before, and I probably would ask it myself, to be honest, is I know many exercises, you know, when you're in networking circles or even in yoga and stuff, they have these practices or exercises where they say, turn to your partner. And without saying a word, just look into each other's eyes. You're like, I'm gonna crawl out of my skin. What are they thinking? What are they looking at? What is it? You know, it's so uncomfortable. So so many questions around that. If we can talk about every angle of that, because that was the number one question that came up, is like, how can I receive being not looked at, but being seen, being sat with, and receiving that, can you just jump into that one? That one's just so uncomfortable for so many people. How can we drop that and just receive it? Right?
Well, it can become a practice, right? If you looking into somebody's eyes, and you know, it's a tantric practice. It's something I think all couples should do. Just, you know, sit face to face and just look at each other, right? In silence. And what happens is the mind goes crazy, right?
Yeah.
Because the ego is always trying to define itself to others. It's always trying to put an image of itself in somebody else's mind. Right? And if you're just sitting there being seen, the ego's hands are tied. There's nothing it can do, right? Mm-hmm. Because the idea is you're not even going to gesture. And so it's a wonderful opportunity to watch the antics of your own mind. And in that watching, if you really watch closely, a sense of space can develop, and you can see them as habits of thinking and acting, and not inherently natural to you. Because what's inherently natural, look at a child, look into a baby's eyes. They don't have any problem. They don't try to become something else. They just look. They're completely entranced.
Yes.
You know, sometimes an animal will do the same thing. They'll just, you know, kind of stare at you. Just kind of taking you in. But there's no affectation there. There's no thinking going on. And so you can... A practice like that, which is just another form of just sitting, right, becomes an opportunity to to get some separation between yourself and your mind. And then you find that behind all of this activity of the mind and its judgments and, you know, it's trying to make stuff happen and present a nice, pretty picture of itself, that same little baby is there that's just watching.
Yeah.
Right? But we've gotten so wrapped up in our thoughts. You take a step back and suddenly you find you're just watching your thoughts. And now you're watching them. And then the thoughts can dissipate a bit, and now you're actually watching, looking at the other person. And if that happens, after a while, a very deep intimacy can happen, just kind of an unspoken communication. It's as if you both merge with the same silence.
Ooh, that was pretty. Yes. Oh, wow. I'm thinking of the song "Sound of Silence," but I remember this is a funny share. When I was in the dating scene, and I was dating people, and I remember some people don't look at me the same way somebody else does, and I don't even see sometimes people because you just look so past it and through it, yeah. And it's such an easier thing. Of course, you brought up animals. I think we've all felt that, whether it's babies or animals and them looking at you, and we're like, whatever we did care about, what we look like or thought or did, you know, it melts away. We're like, ah, I know the animals or baby aren't judging me, so I can sit here. Can healing occur from, like, a lot of people use horses and, well, any animals, lots of animals, so, you know, therapy animals. Are animals witnessing us, or are they just being there, or are we just allowing our minds to shut up and let the healing happen, or how does healing with animals work?
Well, being in touch with animals is like being just in touch with nature, because they don't think. They're not in their minds. They're very, and so they are always present.
Ah, yes.
They're always fully present. And so when we let ourselves be with them, we become present. And that's what you feel, that sense of just relaxation and relief and just kind of, you know, the spotlight's off. I'm just here with my dog, right? because it's not, yeah, there is a total absence of judgment, because there's an absence of thinking. They're not categorizing you. They are completely present. The plant is completely present. The tree is completely present. They're not distracted. You know, this is the unique power and problem of the human being is thinking.
Yes. Okay. And when we're on the animal and nature thing now, some people really have this connection, like super refined, I would say, connection. They're tuned in to the frequency of nature, and they share with us what they are hearing or feeling or sensing from trees and nature. Is that because they're just tuning in on a different present level to...
Yeah, they're sensitive to the presence. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's unmistakable. I mean, everything has an energetic signature to it. I mean, if you close your eyes for a moment and just let your attention wander around your body, you'll notice your elbow feels different than your foot. You can tell. What's right. The difference? Right? When you're not looking at it, when it's not an object in the mind, which is, you know, a form, which is all just sight, there's no forms to feeling, it's just kind of this field. But every part of your body has a different energetic feel to it. Hmm. And so everything is like that, you know, the plant outside. If you actually, you can practice this, you can begin to feel the room you're in. Ooh. As an energetic presence, and things outside, the trees outside your window, or the cup sitting on your desk. Right? It's only our minds that have kind of compressed us, in belief and not in reality, into this little area in the skull. You're not actually there.
Yes, yes.
Consciousness permeates everything, and that's what you are.
Yeah, we keep ourselves imprisoned in that little room, in the skull room.
Yeah, that's right, the skull room, yeah.
Right? With that, you know, it's so interesting. I'm so glad that, you know, I'm launching into an offer for people, an invitation, I should say, actually, because as you guys know, and I was going to launch it last week, but it wasn't quite ready. So now we're ready. And the reason being is because there are practices. And I went right into my little ego world there when you said, you can do this practice. You can start feeling the room. And I'm like, well, how will I know I'm right? Right? I was like, I need validation here. How am I going to do this? And so one of those things is that as we work with a spiritual teacher such as yourself, I myself working with you, I'm starting to drop that. Like, even I caught myself there. I was like, wait, no, you're just observing. You're neither right nor wrong. It doesn't matter. But it has taken me working with you for like 7 or 8 months and practicing these things and really being able to visit many of your audios and like just having that access to it and being able to do that. So, you know, I'm so glad that you've created, you know, on the website, it's a patron program that every one of you, we've made it super, super, super affordable at $15 US a month. And what happens is you're supporting GP and allowing him and myself to do all these wonderful things that we can for as free and as little as we possibly can. But my gosh, GP, you know, we're constantly uploading multiple videos, and even to the point where every week, even though that song is free, you know, on your Sundays, now we were able to have other people take it and say, okay, here's a question and answer. Here's a teaching here. We've titled it and organized it in such a way that it's so beautiful. This little subscription patron group here, and that we're inviting everybody to go to. And all they need to do is go to gpwalsh.com/patron. And you can just scooch around there, see what happens. There's a 7-day free trial. So even though you put in your credit card information or pay for it, you know, if you really thought, you know, it's just not for me, then off you go. You've got the 7 days, right, GP?
That's right. 7 days or forever, hold your peace. You can never. Yes. There's no commitment. You can cancel anytime.
Well, yes, and you know what's funny is if they can make that practice for the 7 days, like just say, you know what, this sounds really interesting, and let me try for 7 days. Just go to the site, poke around for 7 days, even if you don't know what you're doing. But I mean, it's so smooth and easy and organized. They will. But I just, for me, just taking in a little lesson, like look at that. It took me all these 7-8 months to grab to that one thing about bringing forth into existence.
Right.
So we are inviting them to just sit with us, you know, sit with you, sit with the teaching. It's not even a teaching. Sit with the energy movement. Sit with being who they are.
Yeah, it's really sitting with yourself. And we wanted to make it very inexpensive. I couldn't do it purely by donation because I simply don't have the technology to do that. Plus, these platforms are not cheap. And yes, you know, right now I pretty much pay for them all out of my own pocket, and I'm not what the world would refer to as a rich man in that way. And so it's and I became disillusioned with Patreon because some of their practices that they were doing and censoring some people and that sort of thing. I thought, oh yeah, here we go again. So I wanted to make a place that would have more integrity to it, and would also be able to help, you know, cover my costs and perhaps even grow a bit.
Yes, so. And it's actually, to be honest, I think it's a little bit easier to get around than Patreon as well. So just on my
it is, and it's certainly easier than trying to get around like Facebook and YouTube and find these things. I've got it all organized in one place. So
yes.
All the satsangs, all of the meditations, all of my EFT videos, all of the replays from this show, and some other stuff as well.
Yeah, so, and we'll be doing some special once a month kind of things. We'll be, you know, checking in and saying hi to you and allowing that little bit more personal one-on-one. And yeah, it's just a great part to be. It's great to be a patron.
It is. Think of yourself as a patron of the arts, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Like the Medici family, right?
Yes. Well, you know, it's such a pleasure to be able to
connect with another. So when I come and do the shows with you, GP, I just so look forward to it because I do get to gather other people's questions and what their fears, what is their conflict, and then bring them to a teacher who does self-inquiry, because it sounds so simple, but it's really the way to go. Like all the other things are so many beautiful bridges, like the Reiki and like that. But self-inquiry kind of is that blanket thing. It just helps everything.
Well, ultimately, you know, I mean, I have some energy healing practices that I use, and
yes,
I will recommend others to people, like Reiki and that sort of thing. I actually did get the Reiki thing. Learn that. I couldn't be quiet for that long a period of time, so it didn't work for me. but none of them actually pierce or penetrate into the deep question of, well, who am I? Who am I when I take all the external references away? All of them. Right? Take away the body, the mind, the history, the memories, the associations. Take all of it away. And what's left? Who am I in my absolute purest form? There's nothing additional extra, just all original equipment. And only in this kind of non-dual self-inquiry do you encounter that.
I love that. So guys, come on back next week if you're asking that question. I'm so excited to find out who take all external definitions and terms away. Aw, thank you so much, GP.
Thanks, Lisa.
Everybody, pop on over to gpwalsh.com/patron. We can't wait to see you there and sign up for the light letter. Okay, we'll talk to you guys next week. Bye, everyone.